From the Stereo Sound Record Studios, this is the Mosh Pit Podcast. Here is the host, Wes Everett, bringing you the best in new alternative rock and roll.
Wing it. Welcome to the Mosh Pit. I'm your host, Wes Everett. You know, I can't intro it that way anymore. I have to say, hey, we're the Mosh Pit, and I'm Wes.
And I'm Ashley.
That's better. I like that.
I do, too.
So, we left y'all on a little bit of a cliffhanger. A couple of topics for today's episode. Hope y'all enjoy this.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be me bitching about the Rock Hall of Fame that Ashley doesn't really pay attention to it. I'm proud of her.
I don't pay attention to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm going to tell you why. It's not really the rock and roll, you can't see it, but there's air quotes here, Hall of Fame anymore. Especially if, at this point, they're trying to get fucking Mariah Carey in it. Last time I checked, Mariah Carey is the queen of fucking All I Want for Christmas Is You. That is the farthest thing from rock and roll, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not into that bullshit.
Do they have a All I Want for Christmas Hall of Fame?
I don't fucking know, but if they did, Mariah Carey would be the queen of it.
So, during break and while I was pulling the last episode y'all heard and making it nice and clean. I was going through and giving her, you know, highlights like Eminem in the Rock Hall of Fame and Willie Nelson in the Rock Hall of Fame and Dolly Parton in the
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, I did say that I would give Miss Dolly a pass because I swear if anything happens to that sainted old woman, I'm going to cry.
Well, now, on her behalf, she did say, she's like, I'm not rock. Why are y'all doing this? And she took herself out of it, but they said, no, you're going in.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even her choice.
It wasn't. And that was also something that bothered me. And Dolly Parton is one of the realest people you'll ever meet. She's honest. She's blunt, but not in a I'm going to hurt your feelings way until you make her hurt your feelings.
Yes.
And they made her hurt their feelings. And we're also talking about, like, Eminem. Last time I checked, Eminem is the, you know, one of the OG goats of, like, hip-hop and rap. Right? I mean, he's got a movie made about him and all that. And, I mean, how fucking old is Eminem now? He's in his 50s, right? Yeah.
And still kicking ass.
Hell yeah, he is. He's still making music. And he's didn't he tour a couple of years ago?
I feel like it.
Yeah, and
was that around the same time that he did the big halftime show at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think so. That was with Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
50 Cent.
And 50 Cent.
They're like, everybody was there. That was a hell of a show. I'm not even a big rap fan.
Right.
Hip hop, whatever you want to say. I'm a Beastie Boys, Run DMC, Vanilla Ice. Those are my creds.
Yeah.
And Sir Mix-a-Lot. What up, dude? Those are my creds. So, me to say, that was a hell of a show. I've actually watched it a couple of times since then because I'm like, this was really good.
It was. And, I mean, I grew up very... I like to call it polyjamorous. I grew up listening to all kinds of music. Thanks, Dad. but I grew up listening to Eminem and Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. And, I mean, speak of Mary J. Blige. And, I mean, I got my hands on a lot of stuff. And I think that's probably why I'm a big believer in no matter what kind of music it is, you should at least give it a listen one time before you make your decision or not. I typically give stuff a listen twice so that way, you know, I can go back over it, just be like, I like it or nah, I'm going to turn it off.
Yeah. And see, I didn't learn that until late in life. And actually, it was a Nickelback CD that one of theirs, I want to say it was like No Fixed Address or the one after that. But Here and Now had come out, and that was, I will go on record as saying that was one of the best albums front to back. It did not have a bad song. No, it did not have a skip at all. And then I get to the next one, I'm going, this was not as good.
Right.
And I hate that about me, because I do compare the next album to the last one, and I'm like,
I am kind of guilty of that. And circling back to something we said, and that I said in the last episode, I think that's probably why I don't really care for the current Greta Van Fleet album, because I loved Battle at the Garden's Gate so much. There wasn't a skip on that record that I had. I mean, I liked all of them. I mean, From the Fires, you know, there was like a few songs that I like. And then Anthem of the Peaceful Army, I could get like behind like 75% of the album.
Yeah.
Battle at Garden's Gate didn't have a skip. They come out with the current album that they've got going on right now, and I'm just like, and you lost me, boys. Fuck.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. That's something. Back to the Rock Hall, one thing really cool about that was seeing Dolly and Rob Halford of Judas Priest on stage together.
Yes.
Count me the fuck in.
I am here for that all fucking day long.
Yes. Now, Eminem going in before Bad Company, that's blasphemy.
That is absolute fucking blasphemy. Like, I don't understand. And honestly, I feel like now the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is more of like a, these people are currently relevant, so we need to do this thing to make ourselves stay relevant.
Oh, yeah. Same thing with Kate Bush running up that hill. Only reason she went in. Sinead O'Connor, the only reason she's going to go in.
Exactly.
I hate to say it that way, but
I mean, and it's, you need to give credit where credit is due, and I understand that. But at the same time, like, keeping in mind, it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, people. Keep it in the fucking genre.
Here's the thing. You change that name to the Music Hall of Fame, the Music Performers Hall of Fame, the Music Writers Hall of Fame, anything to do with Music Hall of Fame,
cool. I'm here for it. I'll be quiet.
Yeah.
I'll have more complaints.
Proud of them. Happy for them.
Yeah. I'll have no more complaints when they change the title to match what it actually is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I feel like social media plays a part with it as well. Who's currently trending? You know, what is catchy? What's going to keep us relevant? What's going to get us clicks? And, like, how long can we keep people on our page for? Because engagement equals money.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's a museum. It costs money to keep up a big museum like that. Get your bread, but at the same time, like,
yeah,
stay in your lane.
Fire. Elder Moon, Primal Chain.
Here's something that I feel like two places missed out on a golden opportunity last year. Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
And she did not go in. Here's the thing. Last year, they also thought about inducting her into the WWE Hall of Fame. Again, wrestling fan here. So you've got the Rock Hall and the WWE Hall of Fame. You guys love to collaborate with fucking everybody.
Come on.
Where's the bigger win? You've got one of the biggest music stars from early WrestleMania history.
Right.
You've got one of the biggest musical influences in rock and roll history.
Mm-hmm.
Combine them.
Do it.
They go into the same place at the same time, and you've got your main event for WrestleMania 41.
Exactly. And I speak of WrestleMania, my 7-year-old nephew loves the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And he says music's not cool unless they use it in the WWE. And I have to explain to him, I'm like, dude, I get where you're coming from. But like the logic in a 7-year-old's mind is this is what I like. And if it's not cool enough to go on the WWE, then I'm not listening to it.
You know, at one point he had a point. Yeah. I will give him that. Yeah. Before they fired Jim Johnston, who wrote all the, like, you name an Attitude Ruthless Aggression era theme song, he wrote it.
Right.
Austin Rock, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of him, but at the same time, they were also including some rock and roll in the entrances. Kane using Slow Chemical
mm-hmm.
by, oh, God, Finger 11.
Yes.
Perfect. It worked. Yeah. Their Aggression album was great.
It was.
And it had that mix of mainstream plus
this, yeah.
Honestly, that's where I found pre-podcast, post-high school, that time in my life. That's where I found new music was actually watching wrestling. Nice. Because bands had these awesome theme songs, and I'm like, what else did they do? Let's hear that.
And I feel like for a lot of people, especially mm-hmm. millennials,
mm-hmm.
That was how, like, we initially found some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's either that or you were like me and dug through your granddad's milk crate of records. And because I thought that the album artwork looked cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I decided to give it a spin.
Oh, absolutely. I can't tell you how disappointed I was by album artwork versus what was on the actual CD.
Yeah, and I... So, Criminal Records is a little record store in Little Five Points in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget the first time going into that record store with my dad and just digging through for an hour or more. Just being like, look how awesome this artwork is. And then my dad being like, I hate to disappoint you, kiddo.
That's the best part of the whole CD. Yeah,
that's the best part of the whole album. And I'm, Dad, don't shit on it. I'm shitting on it, kid, because it's not worth it and I'm not paying for it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You remember when people used to take the CDs and make like the drapery little
dee-dee-dee-dee? Yeah.
That's all those were worth.
Exactly. I remember having, it wasn't made of CDs. It was pink and it was purple. And like we were talking about one of my friend's kids has it on her bedroom now. So the thing that used to hang as your door. Yeah, in like the mid-2000s when everybody had one of those.
The little beads.
The door beads. That's what they're called, door beads. Oh my God. I had pink and purple ones. And I mean, I thought I was so cool. Man, those things got tangled and they hung onto your hair occasionally.
There was no running through those.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It was like they looked aesthetically pleasing mm-hmm. for the time period.
Yeah.
Because like, if anybody's old enough to remember, there were purses as well that had those little like beads on them as well. And the fucking flare yoga pants. Oh, and not yoga pants like you guys are thinking right now. They were capris, and we all just looked like we had high waters on. Yep. And I used to dress very much opposite than I am now because I was not allowed to wear all black and, you know, express the true version of myself. And I keep making the joke of I've always loved Morticia Addams, the Addams Family, but the original Addams Family mm-hmm. from the 1960s
yeah.
has always been one of my favorites. And one of my favorite lines that Morticia says to Wednesday in one of the episodes, she says, "Black is such a happy color, dear." Mm-hmm. And I'm always making that remark nowadays when people are like, "You can't spend the rest of your life wearing all black, listening to angry music." The fuck I can't.
Watch me. Yes. I think that was about the same time that everybody was bedazzling everything.
Oh, God, yes. I remember.
Every pair of jeans in the men's section had that fucking cross, bedazzled on the butt.
But, yes, I remember that. And this was the time where apple bottom jeans were actually a thing.
Yeah.
Yes. So in the song, when apple bottom jeans are referenced, they were actually a thing at that time. And I remember everybody going absolutely berserk for them. And I also am not proud to admit that I do remember having the very harsh line of demarcation from where my foundation just stopped at my chin. And it was definitely the wrong shade. It was...
It's like, did you just put your face in the tanning bed? What happened here?
It honestly looked more like, I want to say like Donald Trump orange, but that's problematic because that moron is not a human being. That man's three possums in a coat, okay? He really is.
We'd all be better off.
Sierra Levesque, wrong about you.
Oh, God.
So, here's the funny part. I handed her my CDs because she was sitting here describing this fucking CD case that she had. She's like, oh, my God, it was so long ago. And I'm going, it's right over there.
It's right over there. It's underneath my board games. I literally described his CD case almost to a T of the one that I had.
She had the blue stitch. I got the white stitch.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's white. It's white now.
Yeah. So
it's like 40 years old.
If you guys are old enough to remember CD cases.
And they say texting and driving was bad. Do you remember flipping through this thing?
Oh, I do. Okay.
And it's so big you can't drive with your knee.
Yeah, no, that was not a thing. So I was telling him all my friends hated getting in my car because I had one of those, but I also had the CD holders for your visors, and I had one on each side. And we didn't go anywhere until the mood was set where I got a CD in the CD player. We got, like, the volume turned up and, like, to the right song and all of that. And here's the thing. This was in the time before, like, you could plug your phone into your car and your Apple Music would immediately sync. This was long before Bluetooth. I had a 1995 Honda Civic, and my dad installed a CD player in it because it had one, but I mean, that thing, it had the lick. It was 2009, and that thing was 1994, so.
So did you ever have that issue where you put the CD in, and it just sits there, and it spins
and then it spits back out? Yes.
And you're like,
fuck.
Can't leave yet.
Dad! When I come home, you've got to fix my CD player.
Oh, yeah. When I was buying vehicles, like a new vehicle, when I'd move into a new vehicle, I would take, like, my most scratched up CD.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I would test.
Yep.
Because if it read that one, I'm good.
We were solid.
You know, things like, you know, it's last leg. I got a great CD player, though.
Heck yeah, man. And I was flipping through the CD case as well, and he's got, I said, it's giving very much MySpace and, like, LimeWire. You remember that?
Yep. I killed a few computers with LimeWire.
He's got CDs that are just, like, the CDs that you use to, like, burn music on, and they don't even have anything written on them. You just know what they are by what section they're in, mm-hmm. in the CD case. I remember having, so, like, the Sun Visors, right, were my most loved CDs.
Yes.
Right? And then in the CD case was just, like, the rest of the collection.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I never managed to fill it all the way up, but I think I got about 65% full in my CD case. So, yeah, that was, God, CDs. We don't even use CDs anymore. No. Yeah, everything's gone digital. I mean, it used to be, speak of, like, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I feel like it used to be on merit, mm-hmm. you know, like you got in on merit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, how many records have you sold? How many, you know, like... Mm-hmm. And nowadays, it's, you know, obviously, how many records have you sold, but how many streams are you getting on Spotify every week or every month mm-hmm. per song, and then album total play time?
Yep.
How many streams are you getting on Apple Music? Like, how, you know, how much play time are you getting on Octane for, like, rock and roll?
Yeah.
Or, like, metal or alternative or any of that? And, I mean, nowadays, it's all... It's all political.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And the funny part is, you know, compounded on all of that, I didn't realize she's a Garth fan, mm-hmm. which is awesome. But let me give you a little musical industry knowledge. You might know it, mm-hmm. but you know Garth is one of the top-selling artists.
Yes,
basically, he's right behind Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He's beat the Beatles, Stones, all those guys.
Yeah.
You know how he did it?
How'd he do it?
So you mentioned you had the double live.
Yeah.
Do you know how many different versions of that double live there were with different covers?
No.
There was a lot because two of my friends actually bought them too, and we all had different covers. And it's like, what?
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Every double album sold counts as a single. It counts twice.
Twice. Oh,
And if you think about how many,
that's genius.
And if you think about how many box sets he has.
Oh, shh.
And now he's releasing a triple live.
Wow. Okay.
So those numbers, they're inflated. They're fake, but they're that's how they count them. That they count them each as individual sales.
Yeah.
Which is, hey, business wise, that's fucking genius.
Get your money, Garth.
Absolutely.
Garth, but I remember growing up and listening to a lot of country artists. I mean, we're here in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of country artists have come out of Georgia down, mm-hmm. and a lot of places down here in the South. You know, Alan Jackson. I do believe, I think it's Alan Jackson's mother.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, don't quote me, I'd have to ask my dad, but I think his mom lived in Cave Springs until she died.
That sounds right, because I know he was from, what, Noonan?
Yes, he's from Noonan. Cave Springs, yeah, and, like, you go through Cave Springs if you want to head, like, down to Noonan to go, like, the mm-hmm. other way, so you don't have to go down mm-hmm. through Atlanta. And it's pretty much a straight shot.
Yeah.
And, like, Noonan's out there, like, near the West Georgia area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that tracks. I think it was Alan Jackson's mom. Yeah.
And you know Sam Hunt's from Cedartown.
Yeah, he sure is.
So
one of my grandma's friends is actually Sam Hunt's grandmother.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to get him on the podcast?
Let's hit him up. Sam, if you're listening, come on the podcast.
Now, again, this is the Mosh Pit. We do with punk rock and metal.
I mean,
can't have country.
I'm down for a country artist or two. I wouldn't say no.
Well, see, I did rebrand at one point where we're the new alternative, so that just kind of covers everything.
I mean, yeah, music is music, whether you like it or not.
There you go. I knew I liked her.
Yeah.
Knew it.
I mean, caustic, toxic, I'm slipping under the lights. I was born to fight, but not like this. Boots tight and I fight, holding on for dear life. Take a chance on me as a foil, take the rest.
Tess and the Details, Runaway.
What can I say? I'm pretty cool.
There was another stat I was going to give you, and I don't remember what it was, so it probably wasn't important.
Yeah. It'll swing back around.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. It's something to do with the Hall of Fame or the CD sales or these god-awful CDs that everybody had.
Well,
Oh, that was it. So one of my best friends that I grew up with, and then we ended up working together, she blew my mind. when she handed me, she was like, so you're a metal guy. You like, you know, all this, right? She's like, here's your CD. She burned me an MP3 CD. Do you remember these things?
Yes.
Where you could put like 900 albums on one CD. I was like, how did you do this? I was like, this is amazing.
Right. I remember the, oh God. And speak of like the old days and stuff, we were also talking about the fact that music venues aren't really like they used to be anymore. No. We were talking about a music venue that is very dear to my heart that doesn't exist anymore. The Old Masquerade. And I mean,
it does.
Yeah, but the original Masquerade. So if you guys are from Atlanta area, the building for the original Masquerade does not exist anymore. It used to be one of the best music venues to catch all kinds of music, but it was the space for rock and alternative to have your hopping off point before you started big venues, like huge venues.
Yeah.
That was your next step before getting to the Tabernacle, which, I mean, the Tabernacle's been redone several times, but the original Masquerade was where I saw my very first concert when I was 13. It was Avenged Sevenfold upstairs in heaven. Now, in Purgatory, which was the teeny, teeny, tiny venue that when you walked into the original Masquerade, off to the left was Purgatory, off to the right was Hell, and upstairs was Heaven. And if you guys remember those rickety-ass stairs to get upstairs to Heaven in the original Masquerade, if you know, you know. So, the night that... I wasn't there for it, but the night that that staircase actually fell in, like part of it fell in, and we had to exit and like exit the venue out the back, like the emergency staircase, and that was actually the back loading dock, and that's where Netherworld actually used to be. If you guys are from the Atlanta area, Netherworld, the haunted house that happens, Netherworld actually started in a warehouse behind the original Masquerade.
Really?
Yes, it did.
I did that one. I did the Halloween haunted house. And I actually met Southside Steve there when 96 Rock was doing
it. Nice. Yeah.
So that was cool. I did not realize, because again, I didn't start doing the whole concert thing until I started the pit. And that was 2013. Moving on. So I missed all that, but I did get to go see, I started seeing the new Masquerade.
Yeah.
And it wasn't terrible. I just am not a fan of the space.
Yeah.
Like
it's, they moved to underground Atlanta. Now I have never really cared for underground Atlanta just generally because like getting down to anything, because it's actually down in the ground. There's a reason it's called Underground Atlanta. It's like this big underground, almost like marketplace. There's now there's the Masquerade. Speak of the devil. The acoustics in the new Masquerade are garbage. I don't like it.
Really?
Yes.
See, I've seen a handful of bands, and I thought it was well. I just... It's bothered me that a lot of the times the Hell section, they don't have the balcony open.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would be the best place to see.
Yeah, that's why I like the Tabernacle. I mean, I'm old. I put in Dr. Scholl's in my Vans now. You know, I'm taking Advil before we hit the show because I know something's going to hurt eventually. And I've got earplugs because, my God, I am not going to listen to a little girl scream next to me for 2.5 hours. No. Like, I understand. Like, I want you to be happy, but just know my earplugs are in because I don't want to hear that. I want you to enjoy yourself, but I don't want to hear that.
You can go over there. Can you go over there and enjoy your...
Nowadays, I like to stand kind of in the area more where the soundboard is because, if you know, you know, that's the best sounding spot in the house.
Yes.
Yes.
And I've made friends with so many of the lighting and sound guys.
Hell yeah.
Those are the guys you want to be friends with.
Yes, they are. They are your friends. thank your lighting and sound guy, because they are the reason that you can hear and see the band on stage. Yeah. Without it, without your lighting and sound guys, it would be nothing but drums.
Yes. And, oh God, I can't tell you, we're getting into that other spot that we talked about, the band, or the concert etiquette.
Oh, yeah.
Don't piss off your sound guy. Don't piss off. If you're the band, don't piss off your sound guy.
Also,
he is the guy that will make or break your show.
He fucking will. Also,
intentionally.
Do not be that person that walks up to the sound guy and says, hey, insert whatever assholish thing you're going to say. And then whenever they play with the one channel that literally there's nothing on, mm-hmm. and they literally did nothing, and then you put a thumbs up and say, great, sounds better. Please don't fucking be that guy.
Yeah.
Your sound guy wants to punch you in the face. Mm-hmm.
I need more of me and my monitor.
Man.
I need more of me. And you know how many times I've seen him walk over to it and go, that sounds great.
I didn't do shit.
You tapped on, didn't even move the slider, tapped on the slider that doesn't even go to anything.
Yeah, there's my buddy Caleb, there's a reason that the sound guy will always leave an open channel. So that way when inevitably somebody does that, because it happens every single time,
mm-hmm.
you have a free channel to play with.
Yeah.
And just be like, I'm not doing jack shit, but yeah. You think I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm standing over here with my buddy just like laughing my ass off. So we saw, there is one time though that I will admit sitting near the sound guy was not the best experience I've ever had. Caleb and I saw the Black Crows, and it did not sound that fantastic. We sat right behind the sound guy as well. We left before the end of the show. We were that kind of irritated because it didn't sound good. It was all high frequency, and all I got was the one singer. It was literally everything else is muddy. I don't understand. That sound guy looked like, you know, he'd been through the ringer, and I understand that, but like, guy, we're on tour, I'm gonna need you to make it sound good or we're gonna lose ticket sales.
Yeah.
Which is how everybody on this tour gets paid. Mm-hmm. If we don't make our ticket sales, you're fucked.
Yeah. We don't make sales, you ain't getting hired again.
Exactly. And I mean, that's something else that everybody needs to understand about pricing of tickets at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that concert tickets are getting very expensive, but, I mean, life is expensive.
True.
And the record label and the venues themselves, they set prices. The bands themselves don't set these prices.
Right.
Don't get mad at a band when their tickets cost $300 and you are, like, going to break the bank just to go see your favorite band. I'm going to go see Era at the end of April,
mm-hmm.
right? Probably, I think, this is probably the cheapest I've gotten tickets for in a long time. Bought it on Ticketmaster. After taxes and everything, I paid $50 for one ticket.
Shit. That's really not bad.
For tickets now?
Yeah,
hell
no.
Yeah.
Shit, 50 bucks barely gets you in a door anymore.
I mean,
ooh,
Falling in Place, Goodbye Destiny. Ghost on Mars, Carbon Skin.
Serene.
How do you feel about the venues that are taking merch cuts?
Fuck you if you do that. Something that that most normies don't know, but I do. Because, I mean, I've been in the industry for a long time. Mm-hmm. When you're on tour, it's not just ticket sales that make your money for the band, for touring. Mm-hmm. A lot of the money, especially, like, emerging bands. Like, there's a band that I like called Not My Weekend, right? You have to understand the merch sales that these bands get is how they put gas in the van to get to the next venue to play for you.
Yep.
A lot of these bands that aren't signed to record labels and stuff, they don't get paid the big bucks like the headliners do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Not My Weekend went on tour with, I think, the story so far, I want to say.
Sounds right.
And, I mean, you have to know that the van that they were in is the lead singer's actual van. Like, that's what he drives every single day. And he has to pay money to put gas into that van. Those boys have to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they're not signed to a record label. When you're not signed to a record label and you're like grinding it out, like, and you're trying to make it, if you want to be king, like,
yeah,
you have to put in the work, and it's not easy. And there's a reason that stuff is priced out the way it is. It's so they can put gas in the van to get to the next venue, and so they can eat something cheap at McDonald's.
Yeah. I mean, look, let's just do the math here. Simple math. $20 for a shirt is absolutely fair.
Yes.
It's probably fucking cheap.
It really is.
But I know, because I've bought shirts.
Yeah.
I've bought Mosh Pit shirts, and it's not cheap. And you're going to take a loss no matter what you sell it at, unless you sell it for $50.
Mm-hmm.
But people aren't going to pay $50 for an indie band t-shirt that nobody knows.
No.
I'm sorry.
And really, honestly, if you're a venue and you're taking merch cuts, you are taking the opportunity away from a perfectly good band to make it, right?
I think you need to go out of business.
If you're taking merch cuts from bands, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Disrespectfully, fuck you. Like, you're the worst kind of human being.
Yes.
And, I mean,
why don't you give away some of those beer sales?
Literally, yeah.
Why don't you give away your whatever you're selling? Just give it to them.
I understand, like, that business is business and you have to make some money. But, like, as the venue, so the venue is raking in ticket sales. They're raking in, you know, alcohol and food sales.
Even just their $10 water bottles.
Literally. at the Tabernacle, right? A Diet Coke is like $9.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to pay for it.
Right.
And
I mean, what other choice do you have? You can't take anything in.
Yeah.
See, me and Amanda, we don't drink. We're not drinkers. We never have been. So if I'm going to a show, there better be some Mountain Dew or some Coke available. Don't bring us any Pepsi shit.
A Red Bull or something.
Yeah.
Like, the last major show I went to was Bad Omens in September of last year in Nashville. Marathon Music Works. Mm-hmm. I got a t-shirt, which was $45. I mean, it's the one that I wanted, though, because I didn't get it when they dropped it on the website. So I was like, okay, but I'm going to see them on tour, so I'm not pressed about it. And then I got a sugar-free Red Bull, and the Red Bull was like $9. And I stood in the back, and I had the best time of my life because I was like, I paid way too much money to see this band. And, I mean, I bought the ticket secondhand as well. I bought it on SeatGeek. I mean, I saw the original prices on Ticketmaster, and I was like, I am not going to pay for that.
There's another problem. Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster, get it together, my guy. I don't know who is sitting up there at Ticketmaster thinking what's going on as far as that goes is okay, but, like, if we all remember last year's fiasco with the going on sale for the Eras Tour with Taylor Swift.
Yes.
That was a disastrous nightmare. So one of my housemates, when I was living in Nashville, she actually was part of that. She sat online for 5 hours. Like, she got up super early in the morning and sat online. And she was one of the lucky ones who got a hold of a ticket.
Wow.
And she got nosebleed seats at Nissan Stadium in downtown Nashville, Tennessee, for Sunday night, the last night of the show.
Yeah.
If you guys are not aware, Sunday night of the Nashville stop for the Eras Tour was rained out multiple times. Taylor still finished the show. She finished the show at 1 a.m. There were people standing on a pedestrian bridge that's in Germantown, which is right across the river, the Cumberland River. And you can hear and see part of the show from that pedestrian bridge, right? And then kind of further back is Topgolf. And that's over there on Cowan Street. Yeah. That's kind of like the setup of like right there in that little area. Well, everything was blocked off all the way back to Cowan Street from Nissan Stadium. All Germantown was blocked off and all that. And when it started thunderstorming, she had to stop. Yeah. So if you guys don't know, when you do an outside concert, we can keep going in some rain, but if it starts thundering and lightning, we have to cut it.
That's a risk to everybody.
It's an electrical thing. Mm-hmm. Those monitors and everything are super duper expensive. They're tens of thousands of dollars that we don't have money to replace. And if we fuck up, the record label's going to put it on us, you know? So she had to stop. And I mean, Taylor's whole stage was screens. Her whole stage was made of screens, right? And when it started thundering and lightning, she had to stop and turn everything off so that way nothing would be shocked, right? Because if lightning strikes anything like that
wipe everything.
The entire tour is fucked. Yeah, I worked that show. I also worked the Beyonce concert. I have never seen that much Tool in my life. You guys were so cute in your puffy skirts and those hats, but I saw so much pink. I don't think I ever want to see anything pink ever again after that. Also, concert goers, please have some fucking decorum. We're gonna talk about concert etiquette. I'll circle into that.
So we're coming up on 40 minutes. Do you want to make this like a sprinkle? We go into another one?
We'll sprinkle in just a little bit.
Just a little bit?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because I do want to tack on something else on the whole concert etiquette. And this is from band's perspective to the audience. And you might know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that next in the next podcast.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you in the next one.